This is Good Hope Through Grace. I'm Pastor Jeff Arthur, Sr. of the Elizabeth Baptist Church in Bancroft, West Virginia. Tonight, we're going to continue our study through the book of Romans, and we're in Romans chapter 15, and we'll be focusing in on verses 8 through verse 13. Verses 8 through verse 13. Now, before we read our text and have a word of prayer, I'd like to tell you that if you've missed any of these radio broadcasts and you'd like to get them and you have a computer, you can go on www.ghtg. That's the initials for Good Hope Through Grace, www.ghtg.org. And that'll bring you to our website, our church website. And on there, you can click under the links for sermons. And you can go in there. We have over 700 sermons there and all the sermons on the book of Romans. Also, if you'd like to know anything about our church and like to get directions, know church times, and visit us, we'd love to have you come. All of that is on the website, so I encourage you to do that. Well, let's go ahead and read our text for this evening, and we'll ask the Master's blessing on it. And verse 8 is where we'll begin. Now, I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision, for the truth of God to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thy name. And again, he shall rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And he again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again, Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, and he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, and to him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, as we begin to teach tonight, we pray your blessings on everyone that is listening. We pray your Holy Spirit would see fit to open hearts and minds to your word. We pray if anybody be unsaved that's listening, that they would see the need for their salvation and would trust Jesus. May we be made to worship you tonight as we listen to your word. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Now, let's go ahead and look at verse 8. And it says that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision. Now, the idea of that is that Jesus was a servant of the circumcision. The word minister carries the idea of servant. It's translated, actually, by the same word that's in the New Testament that's translated deacon. Jesus was a minister. That's what a minister really is a servant. I'm a minister. I'm a servant. I'm a servant of the Lord, and I serve at a congregation, a church. And Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. When you look at his earthly ministry, that's exactly what you see. He basically never went outside of Israel. His main focus of his ministry, his 3.5-year ministry, was the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And if we'll go back to the book of Matthew chapter 10, that's exactly what you see. Matthew chapter 10. He sent his disciples out, and he sent the twelve out. And I want you to notice what he says when he sends them. Verse 5 says, these 12, Matthew 10, 5, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles. See, they weren't to go at this time to the Gentiles. See, we're just talking about the Messiah's ministry, and that's what Paul's pointing out in Romans 15 that he was the minister to the circumcision, to the Jew. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's who that Jesus, when he sent the 12 out, and this was a commission, he sent them out first only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So that's, you can see the idea of this here in Romans chapter 15 when it says that Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. That's who he went to. That's who his ministry, his earthly ministry, his 3.5 year ministry was primarily to. There were some Gentiles and Samaritans that came into contact with Christ, but primarily his ministry in the beginning here, his earthly ministry, was to the Jew. Now it says he was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God. Now the truth of God is God's word. And God's word prophesied in the Old Testament to Abraham and Isaac and to Jacob. There was promises made to them that through them would come one, that through Abraham would come one that would all nations would be blessed. And this Abrahamic covenant was a promise of a Messiah. And this same promise was made to the promise that was made to Abraham was also made to Isaac, and of course was also made to Jacob. The promise was made to all of them concerning this Messiah. Through him, all nations would be blessed. Now, of course, what came through Abraham? Well, the nation Israel came through Abraham. Through Abraham and then Isaac and Jacob came the nation of Israel. Through Israel, all nations would be blessed. How would that happen? Through Israel came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So, back to verse 8 of Romans 15. So, Jesus was a minister of the Jew for the truth of God to confirm the promises made to the fathers. Now, the promises made to the fathers was the ones that I just talked about in Genesis 12. And then, of course, it was made again. The same promise was made to Isaac. Same promise was made to Jacob. Through them would come the Messiah. The promises made to them would be confirmed by Jesus. And, of course, Jesus was that Messiah. He was that anointed one that came through the line of Abraham and through the line of David. And then he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, prophecy after prophecy Jesus fulfilled, but he was a minister to the Jew. That's what he was. And he confirmed the promises made to the fathers. But not only was the promises made to, was there promises made to Israel, but there was also promises made concerning the Gentiles. And oh, tonight we should be so thankful for those promises that was also made to Gentiles. He confirmed the promises to the fathers, but the Old Testament scripture also had promises to the fathers concerning the Gentiles. Remember the statement that was made to Abraham. Let me go back to that text and read it to you in its context in the book of Genesis chapter 12. And let me begin at verse 1. Now the Lord had said, Genesis 12, 1, the Lord had said to Abram, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house. Now the reason why that was because his family were idol worshipers. And he separated Abram from them. Now his name was Abram. Later on his name would be changed to Abraham, the father of a multitude. Okay? So he said, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, from your father's house, and to the land that I'll show you, and I'll make you a great nation. And what great nation was that? Would he make from Abram? It was the nation Israel. And I will bless thee, and I'll make your name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I'll bless them that bless you, and I'll curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You have this given in Genesis 18:18, 22:18, and 26:4. You have a repeating of this covenant. You have it repeated again to Abram. You have it when his name's changed to Abraham. Then you have it repeated to his son Isaac. And then you have it repeated to Jacob. Christ was the confirmation of those promises. So the nation Israel came into being through Abraham. And God did indeed make a great nation, the nation Israel. And then through Israel came the Messiah, the Lord Jesus. So Jesus confirmed the promises made unto the fathers. That's the idea of that. Now, those promises, as I've already said, did not exclude the Gentiles. There was promises to the Gentiles also. You remember to Abram, he said, through you, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And that's another promise. Jesus is not only he was a minister of the Jew, but Jesus is also the God, and he was God of the Jew, but Jesus is also the God of the Gentile. You'll remember before Jesus ascended back to heaven, and he was addressing his apostles, who I believe was the first church. And he's addressing them, and he gives them a commission. He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, which means to make disciples of all nations. And after disciples made, they are to be baptized. Made, then baptized. That's always the order. John 4, 2, 1 and 2 says the same thing in Jesus' ministry. It says he made and baptized more disciples than John. You become a disciple and then you get baptized. That's the order. And then they are to be taught. But Jesus said, go ye therefore and teach all nations, make disciples of all nations, and then when they're made, baptize them. And then when they're baptized, teach them. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So Jesus' earthly ministry was primarily to the Jew. But before he ascended to heaven, this church that he established, he sent them with a commission to the world. And to the world is the Gentiles. Aren't you glad? These were all promises that the Old Testament made that Jesus fulfilled. He was the minister of the Gentile, but he was also the one that sent the Jews. The first church was made up of the Jews that sent them to the world with the message of the gospel. Aren't you glad? So all the promises was confirmed in Christ. Let me read on. And that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. Now, what he does in verse 9 and 10 and 11 and 12 is he quotes four different Old Testament texts. And the first one in verse 9 is Psalms 18:49. Verse 10 is Deuteronomy 32:43. Verse 11 is Psalms 117:1. And then verse 12 is Isaiah 11, verse 1. He quotes the Old Testament scriptures that prophesied of the salvation of the Gentile. You see, the Old Testament prophesied that there was coming a Savior. There's coming a Messiah. And he was coming through Abraham. That's what the promise was made to their fathers. Through Abraham was going to come one that would rule over the house of Israel forever. And through him, all nations would be blessed. You see, through Abraham came Jesus. And one of the things Jesus said when he was here, he said it to Nicodemus. He said, God so loved the world. And the world is Gentile. That would have blown Nicodemus' mind. It's Gentile as well as Jew. And before he left, he established his church, and then he sent them with the commission to the world. And when you study the book of Acts, which is what we're doing on Wednesday nights, you see that's exactly what happened. They went to Jerusalem, then they went to Judea, they went to Samaria, and then they went to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's exactly what Jesus told them to do in the book of Acts. They would be his witnesses. Now, let me read Acts 1:8 for you. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Aren't you thankful for that? So Jesus confirmed these promises. He went to the Jew first. You see that in his ministry. That's who he went through. That's who he went through. That was his, where his ministry was focused at. But then he sent those apostles. He sent his church. He sent them to the world with a commission. And now here in verse, now here in the book of Romans chapter 15, in verse 9 through 13, He's quoting Old Testament text to show you that the Old Testament promises weren't just to Jews, but also to Gentiles. There's coming a salvation of Gentiles. And you know what? Tonight you're listening to a saved Gentile. I'm a spiritual Jew, but I've had a new birth, and now I've been made a part of His nation. And aren't you thankful? I got a home in the Father's house. And one of these days, I'm going to sit down in the kingdom with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's what Jesus said in the book of Matthew. All right, Romans 15, let's look at verse 9. It says that the Gentiles might glorify God for His mercy. Mercy is getting that which you don't deserve. And that's what you get in salvation. The reason why you're saved is because God bestowed upon you His mercy. We talked about that also in the book of Romans chapter 9. We talked about vessels of mercy. Romans 9 and verse 23 says this, and that He might make known the riches of His glory on the vessels of mercy, which He hath afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom He hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. See, Jew and Gentile, so that we might glorify God for His mercy. And you should. If it wasn't, you should praise God every day. If you know Christ as your Savior, if you've been born again, if you're a child of the King and you have a home in the Father's house, you should glorify God for that mercy. Because it's of His mercy that you are not condemned. It's of His grace and mercy. The Apostle Paul said it best in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am by the grace of God. And that is true of everyone that's saved. Now, here it says the Gentiles glorify God for His mercy, for it is written, I quote the Scripture, for this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles and sing unto thee. Now, folks, who brought the message to the Gentiles? Well, it was a Jew that did that. When you look at this early church, the church of Jerusalem was made up in the beginning of nothing but Jews. And it was the Jews that brought to us the Gentile. It went to the Jew first, then to the Gentile. But they brought us the message. And you should be forever grateful to them, to the Apostle Paul and to Simon Peter and to the early church that brought the message to the Gentile people. And when you study in the book of Acts, you can see that the message spread from Jerusalem to Samaria. It spread and eventually to Antioch, which was a church that was made up primarily of Gentiles. And the Gentiles and Jews became brothers and sisters in Christ, part of the same churches. This is what he's dealing with here in the book of Romans. Well, we are to glorify God for that mercy. Glorify Him every day of our life, that He reached down in His mercy and grace and saved our soul. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, blessed be God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again. Are you thankful? Why are you born again? Why do you have a new birth? It was because of His mercy that brought that to pass. So he quotes verse in Romans 15, 9. He quotes a text in the book of Deuteronomy 32:43. Jesus fulfilled all these promises. He's a confirmer of the promises. That's our title tonight. Christ, confirmer of promises. He confirmed the promises made to the Jews and the Old Testament promises concerning the salvation of the Gentile. And he presents four proof texts of it here in Romans 15. Now let's look at verse 10. And again he said, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. The Gentiles and Jew. He says, rejoice ye Gentiles with his people. That's with the Jews. Jews and Gentiles rejoicing together in the salvation that they have in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 that in times past, what we were. It says that at that time, ye were without Christ. That's the way it was under the old covenant. It's primarily Jews that was saved. Being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's the way it was under the Old Testament. It's primarily Jew that was saved. But now, in Christ, ye who were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace, who has made both one. What's it mean he's made both one? Both Jew and Gentiles are brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's why we are to be a part and receive and part of the same churches. We're not to divide up under races. Really, there's only one race anyhow, and that's the human race. And if you're saved and you're born again in Christ Jesus, you're brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're to receive one another. Let's go back to our text. So he's quoting in verse 10, he's quoting Deuteronomy 32:43. In verse 9, he's quoting Psalms 18:49. Need to get that straight for you. But he's using the Old Testament scriptures and showing how Jesus confirmed these promises. And, of course, through him came the salvation of the Gentiles. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. Calling on all people to praise the Lord. And that's Psalms 117 and verse 1. Verse 12, and Isaiah said, there shall be a root of Jesse, that's Jesus. He come through the lineage of David. Remember the book of Luke said he was the house and lineage of David. And he shall rise to reign over the Gentiles. To him the Gentiles trust. So you see what he's doing as he's really, when you look at it in the context of chapter 14 and 15, he's telling the Jew and Gentile to receive one another. And now he comes down here and really provides further proof as reason why they receive one another, because Jesus he confirmed the promises, the Old Testament promises made to the fathers. He performed them and confirmed them, but he also did the same thing to the Gentiles, because the Old Testament also prophesied of a conversion of the Gentiles. And he's made us both one in Christ Jesus. Now, in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, we get a picture of heaven one day. And it's a glorious picture. And I want to read you just a little bit in the book of Revelation, chapter 7. And we're introduced to a multitude which no man can number. And they're standing before on the sea of glass before the throne of God. I want you to listen to it now. After this, this is Revelation 7:9. I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number. And folks, if you're born again, you'll be a part of this number right here. It might be a multitude which no man can number, but the Lord can number it. And this goes on to say, now notice, these are people that are born again. These are people that have been saved. These are people that are before the Lord, and they're clothed with white robes, which represents they're clothed with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And notice it says, of all nations, kindreds, and people, and tongues. And they stood before the throne, and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes. Now notice what else it says about these people, Revelation 7:14. He said, and I said unto them, sir, thou knowest. The question is asked, who these people are? And the answer is, these are they which came out of great tribulation. They've washed their robes. They made them white in the blood of the Lamb. The only way you can have a perfect standing before God is to be in the blood. It's to trust the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can be cleansed from your sin. When you trust Jesus, His blood cleanses you from your sin. Well, is that just of the Jew? No, it's also the Gentile. God planned since before the world ever began to save both Jew and Gentile and to make them one in Jesus Christ. And you see that in the prophecies of the Old Covenant. Jesus, the Apostle Paul, in this text, uses four texts of Scripture from the Old Testament to prove that Jesus confirmed the promises to the fathers by bringing the Messiah through them, but he also confirmed the prophecies concerning the Gentiles also by saving the Gentiles. We see that even fulfilled down to today. Isn't it wonderful? God's still saving Gentiles. I'm going to tell you something else. God's still saving Jews too. There are some great mission groups that takes the gospel to the Jew. Jews for Jesus and different ones. And God's still saving both. And when He does, He makes us one in Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Now, the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, the name of this broadcast is Good Hope Through Grace. It says that the God of hope, and then He says that ye may abound in hope. But the Lord has given us good hope. The word hope don't mean in the Bible like it does today. We say, I hope it don't rain, or we hope our team wins. The word hope means to confidently expect. We have good hope. We have good confidence. And folks, it's great. If you don't have Jesus, then the book of Ephesians says you have no hope. You don't have no hope beyond the grave. In order to have good hope, you have to trust Jesus. And when you trust Jesus, here's the good hope that you have. Here's the hope, the expectation that you have. You can expect one day to go be with Jesus. I don't know when it's going to be, whether it's going to be by death or by rapture, but one of these days, just like old Job said, one of these days, I want to see God. One of these days, I'm going to be with Him. Either way, that's good hope. I got a home in heaven. I'm going to see Jesus. That's good hope. I got victory over death. That's good hope. I'm going to rule and reign with Christ. That's good hope. I'm not going to have no condemnation because Jesus took all my condemnation on the cross. That's all good hope. And I pray that you have it. And Jesus confirmed all of these promises by coming, taking flesh, being born, living the perfect life, then dying for our sin debt and rising again the third day. If you trust Him as your Savior, you will have all of this good hope in Christ Jesus. And it should fill you with joy and peace in believing. If you focus on your hope, it'll give you joy and peace in believing. Well, folks, we've come to the end of another broadcast. This message was entitled Christ, Confirmer of Promises. He confirmed the promises to the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And He's confirmed His promises to the Gentiles by seeing to it that we heard the gospel and bestowing upon us His mercy. May God add His blessings to His word.